It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brad Rump.
Three ball, Max Landis.
Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown.
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is gonna be huge.
I believe this is gonna be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
It is blowing up today because we've got Major League Baseball opening day. We are on it. We'll give you updated scores throughout the Sports Rush. Welcome to the show. Your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy. Big show today coming up later this hour. We'll talk to Jeremiah Johnson, your pregame, postgame host for Indiana Pacers basketball on, is it still Bally's Sports Indiana?
I'm not the one to ask.
I'm not going to ask him. I'm not bringing up anything to do with the whole bankruptcy, etc. But Jeremiah Johnson from Pacers Television will be joining us coming up later the hour. Also, next hour, it's a first-time guest. Be anxious to hear how this goes. Tyler Tackman from the Indy Star, who is covering the Indiana Hoosiers. He's providing kind of secondary support for Zach Osterman, who we've had on the show quite frequently. He is also on the Indiana Hoosiers beat, but Tyler Tackman has kind of picked up and tried to add some double whammy support to Zach Osterman's coverage. And so we thought, let's talk to him. Let's get to know him. And let's get his insights on Indiana basketball and everything that's happening with Indiana basketball. So he joins us at 5:20. And then it's our weekly visit with Parfait Sports Medicine's Eric Dutkevich at 5:35. Opening day 2023. Baseball today having everybody in action all on the first day. No games over in Japan.
No.
No, half schedule today, half schedule. No, everybody is in action today, weather permitting. I don't know if there's any weather concerns across the country. So far, it looks like every game that's been scheduled to start has started on time. And already, we've got a final. The New York Yankees are leading all of baseball with a 1-0 record. They've defeated the San Francisco Giants 5-0. I know some Giants fans here in Fort Wayne.
What are they doing here?
I have no idea. I don't know the connection, but they're Giants fans. And Yankees with the shutout over the Giants and the winning run scored on an Aaron Judge home run.
Yeah, call us shocked and surprised.
Yeah, so he picks up right where he left off last season. Aaron Judge, the early leader in home runs, although there's been a few that have added and tied him today. There's been a few dingers, but Orioles are all over the Red Sox, 8-2, that game in the sixth. You've got the Cubs, how about that? 4-0 over the Milwaukee Brewers. That game now into the top of the seventh. And then Tigers and Rays, and the Detroit Tigers still looking for their first run of the year. They trail the Rays 1-0. Get ready. It's going to be that kind of season, Adam.
I'm ready for it.
I can say that to you because your Tigers are already playing and losing. My Reds haven't started yet, so they're not down yet. As of right now, the Reds have a 500 record. We ought to enjoy it. It's 0-0, and it might be the only time we see it all year long.
It just might be, Brent.
As a lifelong sufferer. Actually, you know, I had many years where the Reds were fantastic.
I was going to say, yeah, you can't say lifelong.
It got it deep enough into my blood that it never really left. Now, I'm not, you know, fan is short for fanatic, and I'm not fanatical about the Reds, but I do kind of follow them, and I kind of, back of my heart, hope that there's some year when the Reds could maybe pull another surprise, but man, would it be a shocker this year. I saw their opening day lineup, and I mean, I follow baseball. I'm not probably glued into it like some people are. But I didn't know but one name on that opening day roster. And I didn't even know it until you brought to my attention the Myers that's in the Reds lineup today is Will Myers of San Diego Padres fame.
Yeah, I already miss Will Myers on the Padres personally. But, yeah, I think he's kind of your distinguished veteran there on the Cincinnati Reds.
He probably is the only one with major league talent. I mean, did you see this roster?
I unfortunately did see that roster, Brett.
Did you recognize any of the names on it?
Will Myers.
Will Myers. Okay. Here's the lineup. Starting at second base, India. That's a country, not a baseball player. India is starting at second. Friedel is starting in center. Fraley is the DH. Stevenson is the catcher. He's our cleanup hitter. Stevenson. Vossler is at first. Myers out in right. Steer is at third base. Benson is in left. Barrero is at short. Nobody. Now, somebody's going to text and they're going to say, I can't believe you don't know so-and-so. Maybe. But I'm a Reds fan and I don't know this lineup. And I do know Hunter Green, who gets the start on the hill. And maybe he can bring his 100, 101, 102 mile per hour fastball and somehow pull a miracle. But they are playing the Pirates, so there is some optimism with the Reds and their home opener. But that is a lineup that is just, how do you end up with no real star power? It is the Reds. They won't spend. And part of it is Joey Votto's not in it. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So wouldn't you know last night, we're talking about this on the show yesterday, and we get off the air at 6, and it's not even more than about 30 minutes after the show, and word comes down, Jordan Geronimo, Indiana wing, I don't know if you'd call him a forward, a wing, a 3-4 type player, has entered the transfer portal. Breaking news from 22 hours ago. Yeah, it's breaking to us. We haven't announced it.
Exactly.
This just in, Colts looking for a quarterback. Thank you very much. But Tyler Bates and Logan Duncombe already in the portal. But Jordan Geronimo joins them last night. He announced that he is going to be entering the transfer portal. To me, this is the biggest loss for the Hoosiers because I thought athleticism is one thing you can't coach. You can't teach a guy how to jump higher and be quicker and be more athletic and all. But, you know, he needed to improve a three-point shot if he was going to be that stretch four. But he's going to be heading out from Indiana. Now, it does, you know, with every transfer, you have to think it is also opportunity. It's also opportunity to upgrade the roster, go find another athlete who maybe is a better shooter and can help you on the glass. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, we found out about it just after the show yesterday. So we've been waiting, or Adam's been waiting, 22 and a half hours to get us to announce the breaking news from last night. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, one thing, though, that I'd like to put to rest, I really would hope that the Colts would come out and say, not interested in Lamar Jackson. We've got a good draft pick. We feel there's quality quarterbacks in this draft. We're evaluating the quarterbacks that are available to us in the draft. And we are not interested in Lamar Jackson. I wish they'd say it. Go ahead, say it. Jim Irsay, say it. Chris Ballard, say it. Somebody talk to us and say, Lamar Jackson, out of the equation. Colts don't need him. They don't need to spend that kind of money. We already know it should be considered somewhat of a rebuilt roster, and you're going to have trouble rebuilding a roster if you put that many eggs into one basket. When you have a quarterback that you're essentially overpaying, you better win now, as long as you've got rookies still on their rookie deal. And you better hope that you can attract free agents, not by luring them with big dollar contracts, but luring them because they believe it's their best chance to win a Super Bowl. If you get Lamar Jackson, do you think there's free agents that are going to say, that's the place I got to be to win a Super Bowl, is I got to go where Lamar Jackson is? How many big-time free agents has Baltimore been able to lure? You don't. He's not a guy that's going to bring high-level talent with him. So you get him by himself with a big contract, and then you've got salary cap issues. It makes no sense for the Colts to go the Lamar Jackson route, regardless of what you think of Lamar Jackson as a player. I mean, if he stays healthy all 17 games, yeah, he could have a terrific season. And the Colts could probably compete for a division title. But he's not a good playoff quarterback. And ultimately, the Colts would struggle to keep players, and they would probably struggle to recruit them. So it would be very short-term success. I'm not for it whatsoever. I still think the guy to go after, and again, this is as of this week, is Hendon Hooker, quarterback Tennessee. I don't think you've got to go up to compete to get him. He'll be available at 4, regardless of what happens at number 3. I still think Hooker will be there at 4. And somebody will say, oh, but you're overdrafting him. He's slotted in the 20s. Well, if the Colts don't have a pick in the 20s and there's players between number 4 or teams between number 4 and number 20-something that might want a quarterback and think, you know, we like Hooker too. We'll take him. I don't think you take a chance. You don't take a chance on the quarterback position. Now, you might be able to slide down one spot, but you start sliding down more than one, and we're not sure what Seattle is doing right behind the Colts. And so I like Hendon Hooker, and I like him for a number of reasons. One, I watched the tape pre-injury. Number 2, I heard what people were saying last year, and it was quickly forgotten that Hendon Hooker was a guy that could be considered a potential number 1 pick in the draft. When Tennessee was rolling and beating Alabama, Hooker was the star of college football. Got basketball in my mind, Final Four weekend. But then he, you know, tears the ACL. It's going to be out. But, you know, before that, he rushed 500 times, 2,000 yards in his college career. Had a 69.6% completion percentage last year. That's almost 70%. Now, guys like Joe Burrow, I think he was around 76 or 77% in college, but he had 3 elite receivers that were better than the receivers at Tennessee, although there were a couple of good ones, but you also have pretty good cover corners in the Southeast Conference. But you compare that 69.6% completion percentage to guys like Bryce Young at 65.8%, C.J. Stroud 69.3%. He's right there as far as accuracy, and we think Shane Steichen values accuracy above all else. Earlier today, Anthony Richardson had his pro day. I've still not really heard a report. Didn't see what he did today at his pro day. But I like the fact that Hooker's a little older. He's experienced. He's got 45 games under his belt. That's almost double other guys. I mean, Young has 33, Stroud 26. But all these people are high on Anthony Richardson, and I love his athleticism. I mean, I think Anthony Richardson has tremendous potential upside, but he's only played one season as a starter in college football. And then there's always the potential that you could come around in the second round and pick Hooker's teammate, wide receiver Jalin Hyatt, who's a speed burner, 4.440. Get him in the second round, and you've got a wide receiver, a quarterback wide receiver combo all set for the future. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. We got headlines. A lot of sports happening today. Opening day, Major League Baseball. Let's take a look around the globe with Adam Lundy.
Well, thank you, Brett. And yes, you're right. Opening day is currently underway. We'll do a quick score update here for you. Bottom of the sixth, Orioles are all over the Red Sox, 8-3. Bottom of the seventh, the Cubs have a 4-0 lead over the Brewers. In the bottom of the fifth, the Rays are up 1-0 on the Tigers. And there's a slew of games that just started here at right after 4 o'clock that are all scoreless as of now.
Oh, Reds are still scoreless?
Still scoreless at the top of the first there, Brett.
Yes, still tied. Still 500.
Oh, yeah. And one game has been delayed. The Blue Jays at the St. Louis Cardinals is currently delayed. Well, Alabama freshman forward Brandon Miller is officially entering the 2023 NBA draft. He told the media today. Brandon Miller, a 6'9" All-American, is considered to be the top college prospect in the draft class, although he didn't have the best NCAA tournament.
He's not going to be the number one pick in the draft.
No, top college prospect.
Yeah, they carefully word that he's the top college prospect because there is Victor Wembanyama.
And Scoot Henderson in the G League.
Scoot Henderson, yeah. Not another one that's not a college prospect. So Miller probably the third best draft prospect.
Yes, he is predicted to go third. More MLB news with opening day today. Aaron Judge, to nobody's surprise, as we said, hit the first home run of the 2023 MLB season, hitting a 93-mile-per-hour slider 422 feet to left center field.
Drilled it, and... yeah, and so he's the early leader in home runs. Not a surprise. He's on pace right now to go 100 over his record he set last year, because he's on pace for 162. He finished with 62 last year, isn't that right?
Yeah. So
is that the number?
Might have been 61, 62, around there.
I think it was 62. We're going to give him credit for 62 because it was last year. No one cares at this point. New season's upon us.
A little more baseball news. The New York Mets will be without their star right-hander Justin Verlander for a while. He was placed on the injured list today with a low-grade muscle strain near his pitching shoulder. And not a breaking...
Oh, wait. We got to get on this because it's the Mets.
Yeah.
We got to tell our boss, program director... Mike Rags, got to tell him, go ahead and take that sweatshirt off. It's worthless. He put it on and ends up with a hurt pitcher, so better take off that sweatshirt he's wearing around today.
Might want to think about a new change of clothes. Not a top story, but a fun fact for you here, Brett. This day in history, 42 years ago, on March 30th, 1981, Isaiah Thomas led the Hoosiers to their fourth NCAA title after defeating the North Carolina Tar Heels.
I remember. Well, what were you doing that day?
Can't tell you.
Yeah. Breaking news, Hoosiers win the national title. Isaiah Thomas ends up leading the way. There you go. There's today's top headlines with Adam Lundy. Got a busy show. We've got Jeremiah Johnson, the Pacers pregame, halftime, postgame host from Pacers TV. He'll be joining us coming up in about 15 minutes. Also, hour number two, Tyler Tachman from the Indy Star, covering Indiana Hoosiers basketball. Also, Eric Dutkevich from Parkview Sports Medicine. We've got our Parkview Sports Medicine text line open for your questions, comments, or suggestions. 46862. Let us know what's on your mind, and we'll try to get responses coming up here in the next segment. This was big news that came down last night for minor league baseball players. I don't know if you heard about this story, but the minor leaguers used to have essentially... the league was run by minor league baseball. It was not run by major league baseball. Now major league baseball is in charge of everything. And in some ways, that's a good thing. Some ways, it's not quite so good. Because major league baseball wants uniformity around the entire minor leagues as far as clubhouse accommodations, the weight room and training facilities. You know, you heard John Nolan talking about some of the improvements they made at the ballpark at the direction of Major League Baseball. And but this, I think, is a good thing, because for years, minor league baseball just did not have the funding to pay the players what they deserved. And they had no representation, no way to really fight for bigger or higher incomes. And, you know, to get $1,200 a month in average compensation. I think tin cast players were getting like $1,700 or $1,800 a month. It just was ridiculous. And, you know, they're working almost every day, they get 6 days a week now that there's the consistent Monday off. But 6 days a week, they're working generally from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until close to 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And being paid what was really kind of squat. In fact, now that minor league baseball players have representation and have joined the MLBPA union, there's a landmark collective bargaining agreement between the players and minor league baseball. And of note, the biggest change is going to be salaries almost doubling for the minor league players. Complex league players, those are the ones that spend their summer getting work out in Arizona or perhaps down in Florida. Those players are going to have their salaries increase from $4,800 to $19,800. Think about that. They spend an entire summer not being able to work other jobs, some of them with you know, wives, girlfriends, families, and they were making $4,800 for a season of baseball. Low A, which would be Lake Elsinore in the Padres system, their salaries will increase from $11,000 to $26,600, more than double. High A players, which would be those on the Tin Caps roster, get a pay increase from $11,000 to $27,600. And at Double A, it goes from $13,800 to $30,250. AAA players, they go up from $17,500 to $35,800 a year. Players will be paid retroactively for 4 weeks of spring training. So the agreement finally reached will include all of 2023. That's good news because the players were not getting paid what they should have gotten paid. Now, the other thing to consider is if you're one of the, you know, top picks or one of the higher draft picks, you also get what's called the signing bonus. And sometimes that could be $1 million or more. We've had some guys that have come here to Fort Wayne at 18 years old that were multimillionaires because of signing bonuses. Yeah, they didn't make much money during the season, but they already had a pretty fat amount of cash in the bank account. But those players that got drafted lower in the draft, there wasn't a lot of money. They were playing baseball because it was their dream to play baseball, not because it was a good career. So it's good to see that they got a deal worked out and pay raises. Now, you know, there's other things, too, as far as housing. AA, AAA players are now going to be able to get housing with their own bedroom. They won't have to have roommates. High A, low A will have a roommate, but they also have the option, if they prefer not to have a roommate, to opt out of the team housing and then take it as a stipend toward their own selected housing. And then the housing also will accommodate player spouses and or children. So really good deal all around. Letting these guys be able to go from city to city, have their families not worry about it, make some money to live off of, really a good deal. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862.
You know what else is a good deal, Brett?
Reds have scored a run and now lead 1-0 over the lowly Pittsburgh Pirates.
And you know how they scored?
Probably an error.
A ground into a double play. The shortstop went from second to first. India scored. Fraley's out at second. And Friedel went to third.
Friedel. We don't even know these guys, but they lead it 1-0 over the Pirates.
Only the Reds could score on a double play.
This is such a battle of futility. It's two teams that are going to be the last two place teams in the National League Central. Cubs are going to be better this year, but I don't know that they're going to be good enough to beat the Cardinals for the division. And I think the Brewers and Cubs will be battling for second.
Yeah, as of right now, Cubs still up 4-0 on the Brewers, bottom of the eighth there in Chicago at Wrigley.
You know what that means. That means the Chicago Cubs, when that game ends, could very well be the leaders in the National League Central. Go, Cubs, go.
Go, Cubs, yeah.
But anyway, Ball State. Last night it was reported that Ball State made an offer to Zane Doughty. Add that to the list of schools that have interest in the Ben Davis Center, who was originally a commit to Valparaiso and has now opened up his recruiting after Valparaiso made a coaching change. And the Cardinals looking to replace Peyton Sparks, who left the program and is now with IU. Meanwhile, not much that we're hearing either way. Players leaving, players coming, nothing much that we're hearing around the Purdue-Fort Wayne Mastodons. Now, I think we had one or two players that left on the women's side that had eligibility remaining, but only one that entered the portal and two that exhausted their eligibility, had another year because of COVID, but opted to end their careers in Riley Ott and Starks. I'm sorry. All of a sudden, it's like Solaire Starks. Don't know why that eluded me there for a second. Hey, we've got a chance for you to win $100. Our last chance, final chance. This is almost breaking news because we've announced it within 48 hours ago. So let's go ahead and make a breaking news bracket challenge final four edition. Go ahead and get signed up now. And you can pick the final four and win $100 if you've got the best bracket.
Yeah, time's running out.
Yeah, only a couple more days. So get signed up at 1380thefan.com or you can text BASH to 46862. Also, right now is your chance to win. We've got Comets tickets. What game is it? Comets Sunday? You have to tell me because I didn't get the email.
I got it. It's Sunday against the Iowa Heartlanders. We've got a 4-pack of tickets to give
away.
Yeah, it's a 4-pack.
Wow. So we will give those away. All you've got to do is text Iowa to 46862. We'll randomly select one winner among all the entries we receive. Comet tickets this Sunday to Iowa and Fort Wayne Comets. You can get those tickets by texting Iowa to 46862. Jeremiah Johnson, part of the Pacers TV coverage, pregame, postgame, and halftime host. He'll join us to talk Pacers basketball next. This is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
This is Chris Denary from the Indiana Pacers on Fox Sports Indiana, and you're listening to the Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
No, Adam, we're going to get caught on that because we've got a guest on the line that probably just heard what we did. Keep saying, we've got to burn that. We've got to trash it until we get it updated. That Fox Sports Indiana stuff, a little old. We're going to hear about it right now. Jeremiah Johnson's joining us on the guest line. Jeremiah, I promise, we're going to get that fixed.
That's all right. I'm a big fan of the archives or the historical highlights or videos, so no problems.
Hey, we missed you Saturday. Pacers were on the road, so, you know, all the state finals had to take place without you. We had a heck of a game in that 4A championship on Saturday night. What an atmosphere. You know, it's got to be one of those things where you enjoy what you do and the opportunity that you have with the Pacers, but, anybody who's in Indiana, from Indiana, there's always something special about that day.
You are correct. It is one of the dates on the calendar when the schedule comes out in August. I immediately look to not just the third weekend in March, but also usually the last weekend in February for the girls' state finals because I do appreciate and embrace the opportunity when available to work at least two of those state finals games. And so did not have the opportunity this year for either the girls or the boys. And then it was also just as difficult that the game that the Pacers played was at 5 o'clock. So we were on short rest, had a really difficult time prepping and also being able to tune in to the morning action and did catch a little bit on the bus on the way to the airport of the 4A game. But, yeah, it sounded like it was a fantastic atmosphere, and ultimately that's what I hope for, is for a good show for IHSAA basketball and the Pacers. I appreciate that their partnership is with the state finals and then also that the games are on the Valley Sports Channel. So I enjoy being able to work those. I was sad I was out of town, but I was also glad that it seemed like everyone put on a good show.
Jeremiah Johnson joining us here on the Sports Rush. Let's talk Pacers basketball. Admit it, it's a tank job right now, right? Total tank.
Don't put that next to my name. I mean, it's 5 games remain. They're battling through some injuries, and we'll see what happens the rest of the way.
Did you wink, wink when you said injuries? Or did you say that with a straight face?
Well, there are injuries, and I think there's just different levels of urgency in dealing with some of the pain. And we did actually talk with Buddy Hield today after practice. And if anyone had any concerns, he was sick the last couple of games, especially with Buddy. He's someone that I think it's now only six games in his NBA career that he's missed. And he was back at practice today, and he hated to miss. He said that he could have returned last night, but it was more about making sure he had a bad case of the flu, and they didn't want him to infect the rest of the locker room. So he missed those two games. I expect him to be back, as well as some of the other nagging injuries we'll have to see on Miles Turner or Tyrese Halliburton. But Rick Carlisle was noncommittal after practice today about their future availability.
Yesterday, we saw what the roster that remains is capable of, and it's not pretty. 52 rebounds to 29, giving up 62.4% from the field, 149 points. Defense has been an issue regardless of the Pacers lineup. Certainly was an issue trying to contain that Milwaukee offense last night.
Sometimes those rebounding numbers go hand in hand because the Bucks did not miss many shots that were available to grab defensive rebounds. But to your point, rebounding has been an issue all season, and especially I would say in the second half of the season when the record has taken a little bit of a tumble, defense in general has been a problem. And it's something they're aware of. They can try minor tweaks and fixes, but as a conversation that I had with Lloyd Pierce, one of the assistant coaches, a couple of weeks ago, you can make tweaks and adjustments and throw gimmicky defenses out there, and sometimes you have to do that against guys like Giannis or Luka that the Pacers have played the last two games. But you've got to be more solid in your base principles, and that's what they're trying to teach guys like Isaiah Jackson and Jalen Smith. And as much as anything, over these final five games, I think what they want to see is which of these guys can they count on to be productive two-way players moving forward, so they can be rotation pieces that they don't get exposed defensively. You're not going to have a whole team full of great individual defenders, but they've got to figure out some way to play better defense within the concepts of the team game plan and philosophy. And you can bet that'll be a big point of emphasis, not just with the players that they have now in the summertime, but with players they potentially draft or pursue, whether it's free agency or trades.
If you had one player, and I'm not talking about a specific name, but a type of player to add to the core that's in Indianapolis right now with the Pacers, who would it be to add to this roster to see the greatest amount of improvement?
Yeah, it starts with defense, but I really think it's someone on the wing, whether it's a three or a four. Sometimes these positions are interchangeable, but if you look at the backcourt, I feel really good about the youth and also the future potential of the backcourt. And with Miles Turner locked in and the steps that he made this season at the five, it really is that 3-4 type of player. And so since you said don't name a specific player, let's just say in the mold of a Paul George pre-injury. Now, that's easier said than done, right? Before he broke his leg in the Olympics, he was on this trajectory where he was that explosive two-way player, long arms. He could really cause problems on both ends of the floor. He could still do that, but what I'm saying is that sort of player is what you're looking for. Now, those players are highly sought after by a number of teams. So the question is whether you can get a player like that in the draft, and then you take a little bit more time for that kind of player to develop, or you find a team that maybe has a surplus of those guys, much like they did with Sacramento. They needed a point guard. They found a team that had two really good point guards. They took one of them. So if you look around, maybe there's a team that's got a couple of wings. One's maybe under the radar a little bit, not being utilized. That's maybe where you go. But you've got to be better on defense. You've got to be a little bit more explosive on the wing, and shooting's still going to be paramount. So the 3-4 position is kind of where I'm looking, not just in the draft, but in any move they might make.
And, of course, the Pacers add a two-guard. I guess you would probably best describe him. Gabe York from the Mad Ants, he gets a two-way contract with the Pacers. Of course, we had a chance to see him this year in a Fort Wayne uniform. What's the plan for Gabe York? Is he going to get some minutes and get some opportunity here over the last few games?
I think it'll probably be similar to what opportunity Gabe York got at the end of last season, where there are going to be some guys that maybe don't play every game, or injuries are just going to say you don't risk it, and there are going to be some minutes available. And I think it's one of these things that Gabe York is highly thought of within the Pacers organization. When he was available in the summer, obviously he would have liked to have gone to an NBA team, but when none of those situations materialized, if you're a G League team and you're offering him one of those Exhibit 10 contracts or the kind of contracts where maybe you're in training camp, but then you're primarily going to be a G League player, you have to convince them that you want them and that they're going to have a role, and if an opportunity presents itself, that they'll consider you. And so it's a little bit of a reward for his commitment back to the Mad Ants and to the Pacers organization. And then also, they liked what they saw at the end of last year. It just depends on whether he's going to get any long sustained chance moving forward in the NBA, but he's a great interview. I don't know him that well personally, but all of my interactions have been very positive. I love his story, and I love that now he fulfilled a dream last year, getting those first minutes and the first points, and now it's a little bit of a step forward. Try to show and prove you belong. It can be some pressure because there are only 5 games to do so, but I don't know about tomorrow's game against the Thunder, having had just the one practice, but it would not shock me to see him move into that rotation and play at least, 4 of the 5 remaining games.
Jeremiah Johnson joining us on our guest line. JJ, with all the traveling that you do with all the NBA arenas, I was thinking about this the other day, that so many of the arenas almost look on the surface to a television viewer very cookie cutter. They look very similar. Don't see a whole lot of differences in the design or the architecture from at least looking at it from the inside of the arena. What arena do you think is the nicest one? And let's keep Indianapolis out of it, because you'll say Gainbridge Fieldhouse and then it will be no fun. But let's say other than Indianapolis, and they continue to improve Gainbridge Fieldhouse, by the way, who has the best arena?
Yeah, I get this question a lot, and I feel like sometimes there are different variations to the question, so I answer it just a little bit differently. In terms of, let's just say, unique, I know you said nice. I'm going to answer the question while I think of, what's the nicest arena moving forward. Actually, I'll get that one out of the way right now. I will say, even though their fan base can be a little bit annoying, the new arena in Sacramento is really, quote-unquote, nice. It's really clean. It's got bright lighting, a really nice big screen. The concourses have a lot going on. There's a little bit of an open field to one end. So of the newer arenas, I will say that the Golden One Center in Sacramento is really nice. And also, for fans that haven't been out there, the downtown Sacramento area is up and coming, and I think it gets a little bit of a bad reputation. So I will say it's worth the trip, and the atmosphere in there with their fan bases is also pretty good. In terms of unique atmospheres, what I'll say is, some of the arenas that have the theater lighting, they stand out as being a little bit different. They feel different than some of the others. So you'll say Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and also the Laker games at what's currently called Crypto.com Arena. But the atmosphere in there feels different than maybe some of the other arenas. And also Madison Square Garden, it definitely does not have that cookie-cutter feel. So those are a little bit different. And then the Pacers were just in Boston in TD Garden. It's not the same as the old Boston Garden for those that were nostalgic about the glory days in Boston, but they kept the parquet floor. And even though they do have hockey there, that's one thing that I'll tell you, is the arenas that have hockey and basketball, there's only so much you can do from a unique perspective. They somewhat feel the same. Even though there is hockey in Boston, I do think it has its own charm, and the parquet floor obviously adds to that as well. So, nice arena, I'll say Golden One Center. The others that I mentioned, some of the historic ones, they're a little bit more unique as well. And we'll save my least favorite for another discussion.
Well, you know what's really important on road trips? Who's got the best hotel?
Well, I hate to say that I've become a little bit of a hotel snob. And my hotel stays in the winter, fall, and early spring are a little bit different sometimes than where I'm staying in June and July, but there are really no bad hotels. The only one, Oklahoma City, they've actually just recently upgraded. So it used to be the Oklahoma City hotel that we stayed in was just kind of your run-of-the-mill Radisson or Marriott, and they've actually even upgraded as well. So they're all really nice. As Rick Carlisle said, I'll borrow his line, when someone asked him about back-to-back or a long road trip and how challenging it was. He said, don't cry for us. We're usually staying in a Four Seasons whenever we go to a city, so it could be a lot worse.
Hey, have you paid attention to the quarterbacks? As a former quarterback, I thought maybe you'd have expertise in this area. The Colts need a quarterback, and I don't know if you've got a favorite among this top group in this year's draft for the Colts. Have you had a chance to look at that at all with the Pacer schedule that you've had?
Well, I can't say that I analyzed the pro days, but I can't get away from it, because every time I turn on the radio here in Indianapolis, it's all they talk about. Is let me ask you this. Do you like having that as something to talk about for the next few months? Because it's getting a little bit weird for me.
Well, you know, I've changed my opinion so often, I have to talk about it. But I'm going with Hendon Hooker right now. He's my flavor of the day. The Tennessee quarterback, I'm like, you know, might as well let history teach us something. You take a Tennessee quarterback and hope for the best. But I'm like, if you're going to sit at number four and you're not going to be aggressive and move up, who's going to be there? There's a couple of names. I know a lot of people think Anthony Richardson because of his athleticism. Will Levis, because he now looks like the Incredible Hulk. And then you've got Hendon Hooker. I like Hooker's accuracy. That's been preached to us from Shane Steichen. He loves accuracy. So if I had a pick, I would say right now I'm leaning toward Hendon Hooker. But, you know, it is something we've got to talk about, because there's no position that's more important in the biggest spectator sport right now, NFL football, than the quarterback position. So we kind of got to talk about it a little bit.
No, I get it. I mean, it definitely is something to talk about, and it doesn't appear as though a Pacer playoff run's coming up and college basketball's over, so you've got to have something to talk about. To answer the question, I would say that I heard all these things about Bryce Young when the season ended, and I was a little concerned about the hype, but then I'm starting to come around to that, and it doesn't look like the Colts will have an opportunity to get him. But if for some reason Charlotte is into C.J. Stroud, and for some reason Houston makes another move, that's where I would go. I mean, that's kind of my favorite. And then if it's down to Levis or Richardson, I think I'm with you. I hadn't really thought about Hendon Hooker until I read actually Greg Doyle's column a couple of weeks ago, and then I kind of thought about it a little bit more because he'd been kind of under the radar a little bit.
Yep.
And I could get behind that as well, because I do actually really like Gardner Minshew. Of the older quarterbacks that you have to bring in, I would enjoy watching him play this next year, and that could allow someone like Hendon Hooker to have a year to get better and healthy and then see what he could do the next season. So I could get on board with that plan, and I'm not an expert by any means right now, but I do kind of want the draft to just get here so the topic can change a little bit.
Well, we got to talk about something in the summer months, JJ.
Exactly.
It's not the easiest thing.
You guys earn your money this time of year.
Yeah, it's not the easiest thing. It is Oklahoma City coming to Gainbridge Fieldhouse coming up tomorrow night. We'll look forward to the coverage with your crew down there in Indianapolis and then on to Cleveland to wrap up the weekend. Appreciate the time, JJ.
Hey, happy to be on, and happy to have one of the Mad Ants with the team, Gabe York, for the next few games. And I do, with the sun shining and Major League Baseball starting to get today, I haven't been up the last couple of weeks, but I want to get up to a Tin Caps game. So I hope to see some people in Fort Wayne sometime this summer.
Absolutely. We would be thrilled to host you. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Jeremiah. That is Jeremiah Johnson joining us here on the guest line here on the Sports Rush, talking Pacers basketball. Really good guy. Covers the IHSAA, often a sideline reporter on the IHSAA Champions Network. That's why usually you go to state championships. He's one of the guys you get a chance to say hello to down there. And, of course, the Pacers on the road didn't have a chance to do that on Saturday.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate JJ joining us here. He's awesome. Just want to give a quick shout out to Austin. Congratulations. You're our first hour winner of a four pack of tickets to see the Comets take on the Iowa Heartlanders on Sunday. So congratulations, Austin, and hope you have a good time.
And it is a little clue that you just gave there. Our first hour winner is Austin.
Oh, I gave it away a little bit.
Yeah, we've got hour two winners coming up. So if you didn't win this time around, stay with us, because coming up at hour number two, we've got another four-pack.
You better believe it, Brett.
Four tickets to same game.
Same game.
Comets and the Iowa Heartlanders coming up this Sunday at the Coliseum. We'll give those away sometime in our 5 o'clock hour, so don't go away. Don't go anywhere. Still coming up, Tyler Tackman from the Indy Star covers the Indiana Hoosiers. Also, Eric Dutkevich. Packed up until 6 o'clock. You're listening to the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.